The Bible says God will fill you with joy and peace through your faith in Him. In other words, as you put your faith in God, He gives you peace and joy and hope. In fact, the Bible says you'll overflow with hope. But your hope is not just based on some wishy-washy optimism. It's based on the certainty that God will never leave you. He's always present. He's always watching over you. The Bible says God will guide you along the best path for your life. That's Psalm 32:8. And no matter what's happening, the good and the bad or the ugly, God's purpose is at work in you. Now, in addition, hope is the certainty that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out or how it looks to me. Even when we can't see it, even when things look hopeless, our God of hope is working to fulfill all our needs, even the deepest needs. God wants you to hear this good news today. In fact, I think it's why you're listening. I don't believe you're listening to this by accident. In fact, I've prayed that God would help people who need hope and healing to hear today's message. So join me today for Daily Hope as we discover how God meets our deepest needs.
Today on Daily Hope with Rick Warren, we continue in a series called How God Meets Your Deepest Needs with part two of a message called Where to Find the Hope You Need, taken from various portions of Scripture. And now, here's Rick.
We know that God causes all things to work together for good, for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Now, this is such a significant verse. I want us to just look at it word by word. Notice first what it does not say. It doesn't say all things work out the way I want them to. Now, we would like that, and we would like to have that interpreted that way, but that's not what it says. It doesn't say all things work out the way I want them to. It does not say all things have a happy ending on earth, because that is not true. All things do not have a happy ending on earth. Reality teaches us that not every patient gets well, that not every couple that gets married lives happily ever after. Reality teaches us that not every business decision makes $1 million, that not every problem is resolved. And so we know that that's not true. All children don't get straight A's and, you know, become captain of the football team. So what does it say? Well, let's look at it word for word. First, it says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Circle the phrase, we know. What that means is we don't wish, we don't imagine, we don't desire, we don't have false hope, we don't have, positive thinking. It just says, we know. This is not a wish or a desire. It is a certainty. It is a certainty. We are confident of whatever comes after this verse. Vaclav Havel, the Nobel Prize winner, says this: hope is not the same as optimism. It is not the conviction that something will turn out well, but hope is the certainty that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out. Hope is the certainty that something makes sense regardless of how it turns out. So what does it say? We know. We don't hope or imagine. We know. What? That God causes. Circle that phrase. That God causes. Now, friends, there is a grand master designer of the universe. And there is a plan that is in action. And history is His story. There is no such thing as fate. There is no such thing as chance. There is no such thing as luck, whether good luck or bad luck. There is no such thing that there's, just karma. Well, what will be, and, there's a destiny, and I just happen to fall into it. That is not true. There is a master designer. Now, we make mistakes, for sure. We do make many mistakes, but God never makes mistakes. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. Now, circle the phrase, all things. What does that include? Does that include illness? Yes. Does that include unemployment? Certainly. Does it include divorce? Some of you have a question about that one. Does it include a miscarriage? Does it include failure? Does it include freak accidents? Does it include the stupid decisions that I make and the mistakes that I bring upon myself? Yes, absolutely yes. Everything fits into God's plan. The good, the bad, the indifferent. The things that I do, the things that I don't do. The things I control, the things that I don't control. They all things work together for good. Now notice, it doesn't say all things are good. And it does not say God causes all things. God does not cause all things. God does not cause rape. God does not cause war. God does not cause famine and poverty. God does not cause leukemia and cancer. To attribute those things to God is to turn God into a monster. God is not a monster. God is incapable of sin. It doesn't say God causes all things. We bring a lot on ourselves, believe me. But it does say that God causes all things to work together for good. Circle the phrase, work together. Notice it's not by accident, and it's not separate. They work together. Now, it goes back to that illustration I've shared with you before about baking a cake. When you bake a cake, you got to have some flour and some raw eggs and some Crisco and some sugar and some salt and some vanilla. Any one of those things by themselves don't really taste too good. Have you ever tasted raw flour? Have you ever tasted Crisco? None of those things, maybe the sugar, some of you might say that's okay, but none of those things on their own taste good. There are a lot of things in your life that are difficult to swallow. They're bitter going down, and you kind of choke on them, and you're going, "What? Why is that happening?" Not all things in your life are good, but they all work together for good. And when those elements are put together, just like the elements of baking a cake, it produces a cake, and the cake is very good. God wants to bake a cake in your life. And he wants to take the elements of your life, even the things that are distasteful and bitter, and he wants to work them together. God is weaving a tapestry of your life. And when he weaves that tapestry, he uses some dark threads and he uses some light threads. He uses some heavy yarn and he uses some lighter yarn. And when he looks down on the tapestry, he can see the pattern that is emerging and the picture that he wants to make of your life. But as he looks down from heaven, he has a different view than the one we see looking up. Have you ever looked at the underside of a tapestry? You know, it's just a jumble of yarn. It makes no sense at all. And you're looking up on the underside of that rug, it makes no sense. You go, why did that happen? I don't know. Why did that happen? I don't know. I just don't know. But one day you will know. And you will see how he was weaving the dark and the light, the good and the bad, the happy and the sad, every experience of life into a pattern. Can God bring good out of the bad? Well, let's ask. Did he bring any good out of the resurrection and the crucifixion? I'd say so. The crucifixion was not good. It was quite painful. But God brought good out of it. And God says, I want to do this. When you understand that God is not only watching over you, but he's working in you, that he not only has his presence, but he has a purpose, that is a source of enormous hope, folks. Enormous. I'll never forget talking one day to a woman who had been depressed for 5 weeks, bedfast because of depression. Hadn't got out of bed. And as she poured out her story to me, I saw why she was depressed. Her life had been one big disappointment. She had started by telling me about an illegitimate pregnancy. She was unmarried. And then she aborted that baby and felt the guilt of that. Ended up marrying the boyfriend who later walked out on her. Started a business which collapsed. Married again. That marriage ended in failure. And now she was filing for bankruptcy. And she looked at me and says, is there anything I can hope in? Is there anything I can trust in? And I shared with her that God did have a plan for her life, a purpose. God did want to have a relationship with her. She could know Christ. And she did open her heart, and she prayed a prayer very simply and invited Jesus into her life. And I'll never forget, she looked up with tears in her eyes, and she said, for the first time in my life, I feel hopeful. I feel hopeful.
That's Rick Warren with a portion of today's message called Where to Find the Hope You Need. from the series How God Meets Your Deepest Needs. You know, Pastor Rick has served the church locally, nationally, internationally for more than 30 years, and he's authored many books, including The Purpose-Driven Life. If you've been helped through Rick's ministry, he would love to hear your story. Please connect with us at the Daily Hope website, which is rickwarren.org, or just call us at 1-800-600-5004. That's rickwarren.org, or just call us 1-800-600-5004. More Daily Hope with Rick Warren in just a moment.
How do you cope with stress, failure, depression, worry? In his book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, Rick Warren goes to the Bible for answers to 12 of life's toughest challenges using the examples of different biblical characters that faced the same issues. Each of these studies offers simple ways to apply God's truth to your personal life, family, and work. To get your copy of the book, God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions, for a gift of any amount in support of this ministry, go to rickwarren.org.
Once again, here's Rick.
God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, notice the qualifier of this great promise. It is not for everybody. It says, for those who love God. All things do not work together for good for everybody. In fact, if you are thumbing your nose to God and you're walking out the back door and saying, forget you, God, all things are not working for good in your life. In fact, all things are working for bad in your life. This is not a promise to everybody. It is a promise to those who love God and want to have a relationship with him and are trying to live according to his purpose. Now this morning, if you are here and you're facing an impossible situation, the next verse is for you. Jeremiah 29:11. God says, I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you hope and a good future. You may think that what God is doing in your life right now is painful and is to no avail, but God says, my plan is good. You just don't see it. You need to trust me. You need to have hope because it's a plan to give you a hope and a future. Now, if you have walked away from God and you think, well, I was close to God at one time, but I can't get back to him, then the next verse is for you. Philippians 1:6 on the back of your outline. Let's read this verse aloud together. God began doing a good work in you, and I'm sure he will continue it until it is finished, when Jesus Christ comes again. God starts something in your life, and what he starts, he finishes. You may say, well, you know, I'm too far beyond hope. No, you're not. You're not. You've walked away from it. When you come back and say, God, I'm going to give you the mess. I'm going to give you the pieces. Give me your peace. Then that which he started, he finishes in your life. And he keeps on keeping on. How do I learn about God's plan for my life? Get into this book and the Bible. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 15 that everything that was written in this book, everything was written for our encouragement and our hope. Now, the more you get into this book, God's Word, the Bible, the more hopeful a person you're going to be. In contrast, the more you watch local news on TV, the more hopeless you're going to be. It just is what you decide to spend your time on. When you focus on the fact that God's presence is watching over me and God's purpose is working in me, you're going to have hope. But that's not all. There's a third source of hope, and it's this. God's place is waiting for me. God's place is waiting for me. And when things get unbearable in your life, you need to remember that our ultimate hope is heaven. Paul says it like this. He says, if all our hope is just on this earth, we should be pitied. But he said, oh, no, wait a minute. There's more to life than just here and now. We do have an ultimate destination. This is just the warm-up act. And God is preparing a place in heaven. Notice what Jesus said in John chapter 14. He says, don't be troubled. You trust in God. Now trust in me. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I would like for you to circle that little word, place. Because I want you to notice that Jesus Christ says, heaven is a place. It is not a state of mind. It's not some kind of, ooey-gooey, ooze, nirvana nothingness that you just kind of float around bodiless, spiritless, or whatever. It is a real place. And God says, I am going to prepare a place for you. Now, in this series, we're going to come back and we're going to look at what heaven is really like and what you're going to do when you get there. But let me just say today, heaven is a place of relief and release. No fear, no pain, no sorrow, no conflict, no more problems. The Bible says this, He will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. All of that is gone forever. Now, that gives us a reason for hope. You see, the acid test of your faith and your hope is how you handle the funerals in your life. Anybody can have great faith when things are going great. But how do you handle the funerals of life? I have been there around the world and looked in people's eyes who did not have hope and seen the despair in their eyes at the funeral. On the other hand, I have been in many, many funerals of believers where they were actually celebrations. Because when a Christian dies, we rejoice for that person because we know where they're going. Now, we grieve. Oh, yes, we do grieve. But we're not grieving for that person. We're grieving for ourselves because we're going to miss them. Does that make sense? When a Christian dies, we don't grieve for them. But they get to be in a better place. They get to be a place where we're all going eventually. So we don't grieve for them. There are no more problems for them. We grieve for ourselves. And the Bible says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Not once in Scripture does it say, grieve not, or weep not, or sorrow not. It does say, fear not, because it's fear that paralyzes us. But we don't grieve as one who has no hope, because we know where we're going when we die. Now, if you are feeling hopeless this morning about something in your life, you have forgotten how much God cares about you. Listen to what He says. The Bible says in Isaiah 46, listen, I have upheld you since you were conceived, and I have taken care of you from your birth. Even when you are old, I will be the same. Even when your hair is turned gray, I will take care of you. I made you, and I will take care of you. I will carry you and save you. Can you compare me to anyone? No one is equal to me or like me. What a God. What a God we have. Now, maybe you have felt trapped in a hopeless marriage. I mean, it's on the rocks and you've tried anything and everything and it's going nowhere fast. Or maybe you felt trapped in a hopeless career and you've bounced from job to job to job and you just haven't found where you fit yet. Or maybe you're stuck in a hopeless health problem and you've been to all the doctors and you've tried all the cures, but nobody's helped you. Or maybe you've got a hopeless situation with a child. Or maybe you've got a hopeless situation with your finances and you're not getting out of debt. You're getting deeper in debt month after month. What do? You give it to Jesus Christ. That's what you do. And when you do, you will have a rebirth of living hope in your heart. Look at this next verse. In God's great mercy, He has called us to be born again into a living hope. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Born again into living hope. You will have a rebirth of hope in your life. You will go from no hope to new hope instantly. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, He can raise a dead marriage. He can raise a dead career. He can raise a dead hope, a dead dream. There is hope. Did you read this week in the news about the American pilot who was shot down over Kosovo? As he crouched in a shallow culvert deep in Serb territory, one of the worst moments for the stealth fighter pilot downed over Yugoslavia came when the barking search dogs drew within 30 feet of his hiding place. The U.S. pilot reached for a folded American flag that he had tucked inside his flight suit next to his skin, and he prayed a silent prayer. That helped me to not let go of hope, he said in an interview released Tuesday by the Air Force News. Hope gives you strength, and hope gave me endurance. Now, if you've just been barely hanging on, you need to do two or three things. First, you need to remember the presence of God. Remember God's presence, that He is always with you, that you will never be without Him. You may not feel it, but He is there. He is aware. He cares. He can help. Jehovah Shema, I am the God who is always there. You remember God's presence. You will never go through anything alone. And then number two, you need to receive from God's people. Who's going to stand with you? Do you know anybody? Do you have any relationships? Who do you stand with when they're going through tough times? That's why you need a church home. So you can receive from God's people. And you can remember God's presence. And then you can rely on God's promise. Now, there are a lot of things in life that are uncertain. But these three things you can count on. They are certainties of life that no matter what happens, God's presence will always be watching over me. God's purpose will always be working in me. And God's place is always waiting for me.
That's Rick Warren with Daily Hope. In just a moment, Rick's going to share a closing thought, but first, I'd love to tell you about the Daily Hope website. It's rickwarren.org. Log on today, and there you can get today's entire message, you can get message notes, social media links, sign up for Rick's Daily Hope devotional. So log on now at rickwarren.org. Also, I don't have to tell you that life is filled with tough situations, stress, crisis, discouragement, depression, failure. And you know what? The Bible offers time-tested answers to life's difficult questions, taking you inside the lives of biblical characters such as Moses, Paul, and Jesus himself. Pastor Rick has written a book called God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions. In this book, he shares stories and gives you concrete, easy-to-understand insights that you can put to work immediately in your own life. So today, we'd love to send you this special hardback book to thank you for your gift of any amount to support this Daily Hope broadcast. God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions gives you the keys to a better life. And you know what? Change will probably not come overnight, but if you have patience and if you pray, you're going to see a difference. And in the process, you'll be encouraged that God can and will help you attain the purpose and significance for which you were created. So please give us a call to request your copy of God's Answers to Life's Difficult Questions at 1-800-600-5004. That number again, 800-600-5004. And now, here's Rick with a closing thought.
If you feel hopeless today about something in your life, it may be because you've forgotten how much God cares about you. In Isaiah, the Bible says, "Listen, I've upheld you since you were conceived, and I've taken care of you from your birth. Even when you're old, I will be the same. Even when your hair has turned gray, I will take care of you. I made you, and I will take care of you, and I will carry you, and I will save you. Can you compare me to anyone? No one is equal to me or like me." Now, God is always present in your life. And remember, one of God's names is Jehovah Shammah. I am the God who is always there. God is always with you. He's aware. He cares. And you will never, ever go through anything alone. Now, I don't know. Maybe you feel trapped today in a hopeless marriage. Or you feel trapped in a hopeless career. Or maybe your finances seem hopeless and you're getting deeper and deeper into debt month after month. Maybe you're just stuck in a hopeless health problem or a situation with one of your kids that appears hopeless. Or maybe you're a single parent and you're experiencing one of those days when you just feel powerless. You've given up on hope and you don't know what to do. You're trying to cope. So what do? You give it to Jesus. And when you do that, you will see a rebirth of the living hope in your heart. The Bible says this, "In God's great mercy, He's caused us to be born again into a living hope because Jesus Christ rose from the dead." And when you give your hopelessness to Jesus, the Bible says you'll go from no hope to new hope instantly. The Bible says that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. You see, God says no situation is hopeless when you place your hope in Him. I'm Rick. Be sure to join me next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and listeners like you.